Thank you for a beautiful day and for the revelation that's coming forth. We thank you because you have heard us in the request that we made of you at this time concerning your revelation to our hearts. I thank you, Father God, because I'm speaking that revelation and the hearts that are hearing, Lord, are understanding it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, in continuation of what we have been discussing all these days, we have been speaking on a spiritual economics that we will title it, and this will be the 10th day that we'll be discussing on this matter. And I think that God really is doing something in our lives. I've been blessed myself. In fact, there was one of the teachings we gave some time ago when we talked about sowing in tears. If you remember, that was about 3 sessions ago. It really blessed me, okay? And I believe that it's blessed those who listen to it also. But we'll continue today and talk about something that's... Well, again, I won't title it until the end so that I don't give it a wrong title. Is that all right? But I have a particular thing in my mind that I want to share with us this afternoon. All right, so in starting, let's open to Genesis chapter 1. I'll read from verse 27. And God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed which is on the surface of all the earth and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the sky, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. Now, let me stop there and then open to Psalm 126, which I know a lot of us will know by heart now. Psalm 126. Now, there's one part I've never really read. Well, let me read where we've read before. And then, verse 4. Restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams renew the desert, or as streams in the south. He said, those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting, and he who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed or precious seed, like King James says, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. He now said, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. He said, it is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors. For he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Isaiah chapter 30. We read that at length last time. I won't go over everything again. After saying many things, he said in verse 23, then he, that is God, will give you rain for the seed which you will sow in the ground, and bread from the yield of the ground, and it will be rich and plenteous. He said, on that day, your livestock will graze in a roomy pasture. Notice that. Like we said in the last time from verse, Psalm 126 there, it said that when men pray to God, restore our captivity, that is, he said, restore our fortunes. Psalm 126. It said, what God would demand God will make of them is that they must sow in tears in the place that God is going to restore their captivity. Remember what he said? If you read verse 1, he said, when the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, he said, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. He said, the Lord has done great things for us. He said, that is why we are glad. Then next line, he said, restore our captivity, O Lord. The way I'm interpreting this for us at this point in time is that the men who got restored back to Zion from captivity in Babylon, all right, they met Zion not as a prosperous place. Do you understand my point? But they were happy to be restored at least to their homes. Do you follow me? But then their home was not yet prosperous. But before they went into captivity, they had prosperity. So they said to God, restore our fortunes. If you read the New Living Translations, in translation, oh God, as streams renew the desert. What they were saying that though we are in the place that God has appointed for us to be, our birthright, our home, But currently, we are not seeing prosperity in that place. Do you understand that point? And God now said, this is how I'm going to bring you into a place of prosperity. This is your home. This is your land. This is where I have planted you. This is where I have divinely located you. By reason of my mercy, you have found yourself here. But the place is not yet prosperous. What God is saying is this. Before you came here, the place wasn't prosperous. While you were out away in captivity, it had become overrun by beasts, by wild things. There are a lot of decadence that come upon the land. That's what God is saying. He said, but because you have come back, now it is time to restore the fortunes and the prosperity that you had in this land. Do you follow my point? But God said, the first thing you will do is to sow, though it might be difficult. He said, those that sow in tears will reap with joyful shouting. Why? That if you are sowing in the land of famine, in the desert, as we are seeing here, what God will do, as we read from Isaiah chapter 30 verse 23, is that he will give you rain for the seed which you will sow in the ground. And because of that, bread from the yield of your ground will come, and it will be rich and plenteous. Are you getting the point I'm making? What I'm saying here is this. It is not that everybody that sows difficult seed will reap prosperity. Are you understanding me? But what God is saying is that you that have called by my name, when you plant seed, I will pour water upon your seed. And I said to you us last time when we were discussing this thing, that what God is saying is this. It is by you that I will bring prosperity into any place. Let us get this clear. God is saying that it is not right to look for prosperity in places, but that because of you, I, the Lord, will cause prosperity to come to certain places. Do you follow that point? That though the land was dry, when you, as a child of God, will plant your seed into that dry ground, God will pour water upon the seed that you have planted just because you planted the seed and you asked God for water upon that seed. I need to say this again and again because, you see, a man of God was preaching recently and I was listening to him and he said something. And my wife got home and laughed and said, how could he have said that? The man said that, God is prospering him and I'm happy for him. And he's going international in ministry. And I said, it's good. Really, it's very good. All right? But he said, the other day they invited him to Malaysia. Was it Malaysia or what country was that? He said. Yeah, and he told them, said, no, he's not going to those countries yet because they're not a rich country. And that he doesn't want to go there and come back and he'll be looking for how he'll now be in debt because he has gone to preach. That no, he's believing God to go to Europe and America first. And so when my wife got home, she looked like, how could he say that? I said, I guess he was joking. He really didn't know what he was saying. Forgive him, O Lord, for he knoweth not what he saith. Do you understand the point I am making? That you see, let me tell you what, this thing creeps into our lives. Every day you have to ask God like David, search me, O Lord. He said, test my heart. Check whether there is any hurtful thing within me. Do you understand my point? Unconsciously, we get carried away into these things. We forget that, you know, when he was saying it, all that was in my mind is that, all I will ask God for, if it were me, is give me money to go and come. Do you understand my point? That even if it will cost me money to go there, the fact that it's a poor country, for me, it's an attraction that I have a message for them. I was telling my wife, I said, I have thought about it. What do I have to say to an American? Really, personally, kind of message I preach, he won't understand. Well, maybe I've not been to their country. Maybe he may understand. But really, the kind of angle I come from, I don't know what I'm going to tell him. But where would you like to go? I love to go to the Congo. I love to go to Ghana. I love to go to Cameroon. Really, I want to go to Kenya, Zimbabwe. Countries are like this, that I can tell men what God can give birth to amongst them. Do you follow me? That, let me tell you what, when God wants to bless the earth, I say this to you again and again and again, he sends somebody. Are you getting my point? Anytime God wants to bless the earth, remember what Joseph said concerning his coming into Egypt. He said, God sent me ahead so I can preserve lives. Somebody shared the revelation with me from some of the things that happened in Joseph's life. Man, the thing, let me just share it with you briefly. That's by the way, I've got what I'm saying. He said they saved only 20% for 7 years, right? Are you getting that? Because of what Joseph told them to do. That 20% preserved serve them for the next 7 years and serve the nations around them. Which meant what? They were wasting 60% the other times. Why? That is 20% could have kept them in those 7 years and they could have saved 80%. Do you understand the point? That is, men have to... Now, this is what I got from what he was saying. Now, he says something else, but this is what I got from it. That God is telling people they have to learn how to tackle abundance. And that life goes in cycles. There will be a season of abundance on the earth. And then, on this earth, there will be a season of privation, when there is little. Not because God cannot continue to bring abundance. But in the time of abundance, he has given you so much, maybe because there's something else he wants to do. So he said, learn how to handle what I'm giving you in the period of abundance so that you will use it. You understand? And the time when you'll have been farming, you will find that you still have abundance. Do you understand the point I am making? Anyway, I don't want to get carried away that I may get down to something like that as we're going on. But the point I want you to understand is that when God wanted to preserve lives, what did he do? He sent Joseph. Get this clear. You are here on this earth on assignment. God has sent you to do something specific. And it is nothing but spiritual ignorance for you to get up and start looking for where you are not needed, but where somebody else has provided something so you can enjoy it. Do you get the point I am making? That is, you must walk through life with the mentality looking for how to affect people's lives, how to affect your generation, how to do great things upon this earth. That's why I say it all the time, that my generation will not say they did not know I came. Not because one day I will be passing and they will find there is a convoy of 20 cars and I'm the biggest black one with black tinted glasses in the middle. So that's how he used to move around. That's not what they will remember me for. Have you ever read a story of a man who lived 100 years ago and they are telling you how he used to eat and be fat? That is not what they tell you. Rather, what you remember is that, I told you that the other time I was telling stories about Henry Ford. What they said about Henry Ford is that before he started making his Model T Ford, maybe about 80% of Americans lived in the villages, the small towns everywhere. And then, now, the proportion I'm giving you is not accurate, but it's something like that. But 20 years afterwards, only 40% were left because he gave them mobility. They could move around now. Now, I'm not judging whether that was good for them or bad because he regretted it. He wanted to persuade people to go back. But the point I want to make is that he was remembered for making cars so cheap that everybody could buy one. And it was, listen, in the United States, it was created with creating what you and I now call the middle class. Are you getting my point? That is, he was remembered for what impacted in people's lives. I want us to get that clear, and that's what we have been saying again and again. And that true wealth, we said, is not that I have so much money, I wear one, I buy that once. Once I wear a suit, it's once, I don't repeat. I have too much money. You know, there are people who wear clothes like that. That is not what we're talking about. I'm not saying it's bad, though. Let me tell you what. There are things you should not judge as bad until God puts you in those shoes. I know a man. People never used to see him wear one full regalia he used to wear of very beautiful, expensive clothes, but he never used to wear them twice. Do you know why? He had too much. And guess what? He never bought any. He will wake up in the morning, nobody has donated another one. So he will wear it. Now, it's not as if he didn't want to wear it the second time, but he didn't have the opportunity to wear it the second time. Let me ask you a question. How many times in your life have you entered the same bus at the public transport? You can't really count because there are too many buses and you're on the bus level, so you keep entering them. Do you understand the point I am making? Now, so anyway, but he's not going to be remembered for that. In fact, the person I'm talking about is Archbishop Benson Idahosa. If you and I remember him, what do we remember him for? Man, when that guy came to Benin, he shook the very bottom, the base, the foundation of occultism in that town. Everybody respected him. The man preached the gospel when nobody else had the boldness to do the kind of things that he was doing. Some people judge that he did this excessively, but that's not the point. That he did it at all was a sign that God was with him. He preached the gospel of prosperity. Now, every Tom, Dick, and Harry, John, Jack, everybody's preaching it when nobody else dared it. He was the one that popularized the slogan, "My God is not a poor God." People say, I said, but it's still the truth. God, my God is not a poor God. If your God is a poor God, please put up your hand. And why are all the hands down? Do you know why? Because your God is not a poor God. I'm explaining that the man was remembered for the impact he had upon his generation. Are you following me? And that is the mentality as believers we have to work with. Not what we can get, but what we can give. And when the Lord said something is blessed, listen to me, it is literally better. He said it is more blessed to give than to receive. A giver, therefore, will always be on top. Do you understand my point? Now, when I'm talking about giver, not just money now, but somebody who contributes something to life, something to his society, something to his environment, that person will always be on top. And so at the beginning of creation, God spoke to man. He said, be fruitful and multiply. He said, subdue the earth. That is, I have given you something to do. Now, when God says be fruitful, what he's saying is that I have planted in you a seed with which you can do things and produce results. Now, get this point I'm making very clear. When he said be fruitful, this is what God is saying. Adam, one of your great-grandchildren, he said one day you guys will multiply and you will have billions of you upon the earth. And you don't have to waste time running up and down talking to each other. I mean, to be able to speak to each other. Be fruitful. Produce mobile phones so that men can walk around and keep in contact with their families and friends. Do you understand my point? Now, they will keep on struggling until somebody will wake up one day and something inside him will cause him to design a mobile phone. And then everybody will begin to use it. Therefore, adding something to the earth upon which he's walking. Do you understand my point? What he has done, therefore, is that he has become fruitful in what he's doing. Do you understand the point I'm making? In the same manner, somebody invented the car engine, the petrol engine. Somebody invented it. There are many things. You go to all kinds of things. Maybe, of course, in technology, you have too many examples. This board we are using now, somebody sat down and invented it. The microphone with which you are speaking did not drop down from heaven. Somebody invented it. What God was saying in effect is this: I have put an invention in your heart. Be fruitful and then multiply. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? What I'm saying is this: there is something that the earth has not yet seen, which is locked inside somebody. And that person, real wealth to him, is when he produces that thing on this earth. Please get this clear. Now, when I say some, it's not only technology. Knowledge, I hope you know, knowledge is one of the most expensive things on this earth. There is something inside you that God has kept there for you to teach the earth. If you don't start teaching it, you are not fruitful. Look, no matter how much money you make selling sand and cement. Do you follow the point I am making? Be fruitful means that I have planted a seed inside you. Go and germinate. Go and produce fruit from the seed that I have planted inside you. Remember the parable of the sower? All he did was, sorry, not the parable of the sower, the talents. He gave somebody a small amount and the person returned and said, see how it has increased the thing that you have given me. Last time I came here, was it last time I read the story about these Econet boys? Was it last time I came here? Okay. That was when see what this man was saying. He said, I see Nigerians line up now. He said, the first day I saw Nigerians line up to buy lines from Econet Wireless, Nigeria. He said, that memory can never leave my head. He said, when I'm dying and I manage a smile and somebody say, are you happy? He said, that will be what I'm thinking about. He said, I was part of it. I was part of it in Botswana. I was part of it in Lesotho. I was part of it in Zimbabwe. I was part of it when it came to pass also in Nigeria. That is, if I die now, there will be a story. They will write the story of my life. Something has been produced on the earth. Be fruitful, meaning that I have placed something, an ability inside you to affect your generation. Listen, that is what God, a country like Nigeria in this season, when I hear what other men have preached concerning this country, listen to me, you will be afraid. That is, what God wants to, I don't know exactly what, but definitely something very great. There's one man called Pa Elton. The man saw a great vision about Nigeria. He packed his load, came here, and tabernacled here and died here. Most of the great ministers you know in Nigeria today are indirectly connected to his coming to Nigeria. Many of them he personally trained. Many of them he personally mentored. Many of them he affected indirectly. And people like Archbishop Benson in Dawson, a lot of these big men, what was it, the W.F. Kumi, E. Adeboye, all these great men, almost all of them, he touched their lives. They touched other people's lives. And the people that they touched their lives are touching other people's lives. When Jesus was praying, he said, I'm not praying for these ones alone, but I'm praying for those who will believe through their words. Get my point? The man touched people the word of God. He touched people's lives, and they are touching other people also. He has grandchildren spiritually. He was a white man. I don't know exact country he came from. His daughter is still in Nigeria. Because he saw a vision. But you know, when God does not open your eyes, you will get up and be running helter-skelter. I told you something before, that when Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a pearl of precious, precious thing that a man found in the ground. Then he went and sold all that he had and bought that piece of land. He bought it from somebody. The man didn't know what was inside his ground. That's why sometimes we take decisions because we are blind. And actually, that's what I want to share with us today. Romans chapter 3. Maybe this is where we will stay in most of our discussion today. It says, but now apart from the law, verse 21, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. Why? For all have sinned, and as a consequence of their sins, they fall short of the glory of God. Now, back to what I was saying, Paul is saying here. He said, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a sacrifice or propitiation in his blood through faith. He said, this was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. Let me stop here, because the rest might carry me off from what I wanted to say. Let me just emphasize something here. He said, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, been witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. He said, for all have sinned, and the sin made them short of the glory of God. Now, I want to tie something with us here today, because you see, one of the problems I had in the past, well, I don't have so much of that problem anymore because now I have an understanding in the area, is why, now, there's something somebody said before I tell you about my problem in the past. A friend in church and a pastor in my church were discussing it that day, and he said that he has noticed that most motivational books, all right, are written by Christians, believers. That if you see maybe someone like John Mason is a Christian, you know, Miles Monroe, they are Christians. These people write a lot of motivational books, challenging people to get up. One of the most popular ones they had in the U.S., what's his name now? He's late now. The Baptist minister. Norman Vincent Peale. Now, this man, in my own opinion, he turned around the mentality of the average American into what he called the positive thinking. He calls it the power of positive thinking. Let me tell you something. Spiritual things always have consequences in the physical. And let me take the other way around. Physical things are based upon spiritual laws. Do you get the point I'm making? Physical things are based upon spiritual laws. Now, when you see, you know, you've heard this saying before, he that the gods want to destroy, what do? They first make them crazy. They first make them mad. Now, the point I'm making is this. The gods, using that one as an expression now, they don't just destroy the person. The first thing they do is to make him mad. Remember when God, this is a very sound spiritual principle. When God was going to break off the tribes of Israel, all right, from Judah, when he was going to give 10 tribes to one king and then keep the other one for the house of David, what was the first thing he did? He made Rehoboam a crazy person. Solomon, towards his last days, became a stupid king. You understand my point? And for that reason, God said, I'm going to take the kingdom away from him. But because of my servant David, I will not take everything away from him. I had made a promise to my servant David. And again, because of my servant David, I will not take it during the lifetime of Solomon. So he was going to take it during the lifetime of Rehoboam. Try as he may, Rehoboam has no choice but to make wrong decisions. Let me tell you something. Today, as I was traveling, I came back this afternoon. Okay, I traveled down somewhere. And so in the car we're coming, we're four in the car, four adult men, you know. In fact, I should be the youngest among the people in the car. I was driving, and we're discussing, you know, experienced men in life. And one of them was telling the story. Okay, as we drove into town, I saw a building being constructed somewhere. So I said, what's happening there? He said, this bank is building. I said, they buy this plot of land? He said, no, they leased it. He said, the young man who owns that land, his father made money. And right now, the guy is selling everything his father made. Every material thing his father gathered. You know, Solomon said, he's gathering. He doesn't know whether his son will be a stupid son. That this boy, he said, listen, this boy earns millions of naira from each deal. Then he will smoke, drink, and pursue women. And the senior mobile police officer that was sitting beside him, he said, those are the things that will kill a man. And he said, this guy talking at the back said, I have called him, I have talked to him. Why do you do this? Why don't you do this? I felt like telling him, sir, he's not him. Now, I don't know exactly what happened to him. But there's probably a seed in the money that he inherited, which is driving him crazy. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, God has said this money must not last. As long as he puts his hand to it, madness will enter his head. Now listen, in fact, look, I don't know about the guy much, but one thing I'm sure of, if that guy gives his life to Christ, don't think he will not know how to manage that money. God will say, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, then come and follow me. I don't want that money. Are you getting the point I'm making? I'm explaining a principle that you see, this man, you know, we will sit down and say, why is this guy like this? There are forces on the earth that are beyond the man. Remember David prayed. He said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is, there are times that things happen. It's you that's observing that things that what this guy is doing is wrong. Even he probably thinks they are wrong. But when it is time to make that decision, he just finds that something beyond him overtakes him. That's why Paul said, who will deliver me from this body of sin? Do you follow the point I am making? That is, I will to do right. When I sit down, what I want to do is the right thing. But that which I want to do, I find that I can't do it. That which I don't want to do, that is exactly what I am doing. So he shouted, who will deliver me from this body of death? That is, this body of death that's injecting decay into my system. I don't want it, but I can't deliver myself. I'm explaining the principle that, you see, when you're talking, remember I started talking about motivational books and stuff like that, you will find out that when a people are going to go into decadence, that is when God wants to take away their captivity, their freedom and their prosperity, one of the first things that you will notice is that they start making very stupid decisions. Do you understand me? Now, sometimes we think that, why shouldn't this man stop making this kind of decision? But what is happening is that God has proposed, or let me say, there are spiritual laws that have been put in place which have decided that this guy is coming to an end. Now, let's take it the other way around. When God wants to prosper people also, he does not just rain abundance from heaven. Jesus said, I have come to preach deliverance to the captives. I tell them about deliverance. I don't just deliver them. Do you get what I'm going to say? You preach deliverance to the captives. He said, listen, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the blind see, the dead are raised, but the poor, they have what? The gospel preached to them. You tell them about it. It's their response to what they are hearing that will lift them out of poverty. Now listen. So when God wants to bless a nation like America, then he will take a man like Norman Vincent Peale and tell him, before these men can prosper, they must think positively. So the man will arise and begin to preach the power of positive thinking. Are you getting what I'm going to say? And he's fruitful in what he's saying. then it begins to multiply in other people's lives. Are you getting me? In the same manner, you see, to sustain, you see, there's one spiritual law you have to understand. And that is that the same way you get a result is the only way you will maintain that result. Do you understand me? The Bible said, "By God made all things by his word. In the beginning was the word. Without him was nothing made that has been made." But Hebrews chapter 1 also tells us that he upholds all things by that same word of his power. Are you getting my point? Now, so in the same manner this man prospered, people who may not be directly related physically to Vincent Peale will still keep on preaching his message. Otherwise, their prosperity will come to an end. Are you getting me? So, you find that God will therefore pour light upon people. People like John Macy will get up. And, you know, open to Isaiah chapter 40. Let me show you something there. It will interest you. This is the principle. That's why somebody like me, I am persuaded that's why God is raising me up. Do you understand what I say? Isaiah chapter 40. Let me start from verse 1. I won't read everything. Say, comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says the Lord. Speak kindly to Jerusalem. You have to understand the power of words. The way by which we comfort the people of God is to do what? Speak kindly to them. It's the power of words. That's why Jesus preaches the gospel to the poor. He said, and call out to her that her warfare has ended. Because if you don't tell her her warfare has ended, she will remain under captivity. Her mentality will still be that of somebody in bondage. I hope you are following me what I'm saying. Now, last week I was speaking in my office to people. People who were grown, who had experience. Some of them, one of them I guess, may even have children that will be close to me in age. And we're talking about Nigeria. I said, all we need is peace in Nigeria. And the way we are going, we will definitely prosper. Is it? Eh? He said, one day Nigeria will rule the world, that he has been told. That Nigeria will rule the world. He said, but that is because the whole of the rest of the world will have moved so fast, they will have gone to Mars and Jupiter. Only us will remain, so we'll rule the world. I said, that is not true. I said, that is not true. That all I pray to from God is peace for this nation, and we will definitely prosper. The guy shook his head. He said, we need 36 independent countries in Nigeria. I said, it doesn't work. This season, people are coming together. They are not separating. And by the time you start separating, where will you stop? Even when you separate down to, you get to the house of Ilu Abacha and divide them to single, that's when Izuchukwu will look at Ikechukwu. We may look alike, but we're not the same. Then once you start dividing, you don't know where you will stop. Anyway, let's just leave that. But the point I want to make is this. And when the man was speaking, I told myself, if this is how an average person is reasoning, no wonder we have not been going anywhere. I told us that the greatest weapon you have is what? Your faith. When you tune on the TV and they tell you you're a useless country and you accept it, you will never sow seed into that country. I hope you know that. You will depart from here, go to, let me think of one Eastern European country, Bulgaria, and you will be digging pit latrine there, and it will be honorable in your heart because you have faith in them. But if they come here and say, dig a gutter, you say, in this country, over my dead body, what has the country done to you? Nothing. But somebody wakes up every morning, tells you how useless everybody is, and that in fact you are going nowhere, and for that reason you don't plant any seed anywhere. I hope you are relating what I'm saying. Now, speak kindly to Jerusalem, he's saying, that is, tell the people of God that their warfare has ended. If they don't accept it, they will remain in captivity. The things they could have arisen and to and done, they wouldn't do it because they say, I am yet a captive. I still have troubles. They keep waking up and saying, no, there is no future. Now, I told you, I was talking to this person. Look, I thank God because at the end of the day, we're three. I was on talking, there were two other people. And the lady amongst us said, listening to you alone has given me some courage. We talked for just about 5-10 minutes. He said, you really have faith in this country. I said, I do. He said, you are infecting me with it. You know why? Because I am persuaded concerning what I'm saying. And listen, when you have faith like that, he said, this is the victory that has overcome the world. That is, every negative thing they told you that will happen to you, this is why you will overcome it, because of faith. What I'm saying, I believe you're following it. You're following it. So God is saying here, speak kindly to them. Tell them their warfare has ended. That her iniquity has been removed. One of the things I told those people, they said that an average person, I said, listen, God has never used everybody. God has never used everybody. When he brought out the whole of the nation of Israel and took them down towards the promised land and finally ended them there, there were only three people that fully followed God. I hope you know. Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. Aaron was an attachment, get my point, a help for Moses. He had no head of his own. I don't have to show you that from scriptures. You can see it. When Moses vanished for 40 days, in those 40 days, the man had built an ark and said, it is the people. He said, I put the gold into the fire and this calf came out. The calf grew legs and came out of the fire. Brother Aaron. Everything, but it's not me. Anybody else, not me. Aaron didn't have a head. Do you know why God chose Joshua after Moses? When Moses would depart from the presence of God, Joshua would remain behind and just sit down there to behold his glory. Caleb testified, he said, Moses promised me this mountain because I followed God fully. Those are the only three people there. Yet God brought out millions because of those three people. Are you following what I'm trying to say? In the same manner, if you count those of us who are here, everybody here believing what I'm saying is enough reason for God to pull out the whole of Nigeria into a promised land. I hope you are relating with what I'm saying. That is, when I think about it, I alone, I am good enough reason for prosperity in this land. Only me. And my wife too. And when I bless my son every morning, he's joined in the chorus. That is, look, listen, that's how God works. He has never worked with everybody. But let me get down to what I'm saying. Now, let me just, because of time, let me jump down to verse 9. Jump down to verse 9. He said, get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up, do not fear. Say, oh God, the power of words. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock, and in his arm he will carry the lambs, and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. Now listen to what he's saying here. He said, again, in this turning of captivity thing, get up a high mountain and say to Zion, behold your God. Now, the point I want you to understand is this. When you give men words and you point them in a direction with those words, that is what brings prosperity into their lives. That's why people like John Mason are actually necessary for a society to remain strong. After people like Norman Vincent Peale had pulled them out of depression with his words. So people like them will keep on talking. You can do it. Now listen, Gentiles will flow to your light. Get me? Even those who don't understand why he's saying it. As long as they are doing what he's saying, God will cause them to prosper. Listen to me what I'm saying. That you see, when God wants to prosper a people, spiritual things begin to take on physical forms. You start seeing men talking in common language, principles of success. But don't let me get it too far away from what I'm saying. In Romans chapter 3 that we read, it said, all have sinned, and what? They fall short for that reason of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? There's one scripture that I found that will just illustrate what I want to say about the glory of God. Open to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I was telling you earlier that what's my problem? I used to listen. Now, please, pause for a moment and listen to me. No, I was telling you earlier that I used to have one problem. I would sit down and read a book. In fact, I had that problem with Norman Vincent Peale for a long time. There's this guy, a minister. He doesn't mention the name of Jesus. He doesn't give God glory in all these things that he's in. This man that built a crystal cathedral, I stopped listening to him for that reason, or for reading his book. Robert Schulam, the one who, his own was possibility thinking. I said, these men don't preach the gospel, so they don't qualify to be called preachers. Until recently, Brother Modok too used to do that. And I couldn't, one of my friends said, why does he call himself an evangelist? But recently, I think he has been aligned. Now, but there's something I want to understand. Now, those men will speak, all right? And then I used to wonder, look, this guy is not preaching the gospel. Now, get this very clear, all right? I'm still persuaded some of the things they said were not directly which words do I use now? Okay, when I find the words, I will tell you what I want to say. But because of the gospel light they had, they saw something which was a sound principle, and they taught it to men who didn't have faith. I don't know what you get what I say. It's like an adult chewing meat for a child. You know, you chew it, then give the child. You know, that kind of thing. It's like breaking it down to small pieces so as to give them a place on the earth. Nothing in heaven anyway. You understand what I say? All right? Not, you know, something for the life that now is, but nothing for the life to come. Because only the gospel, the raw gospel of Jesus can do that for you. However, if somebody's hungry and I give him 20 naira, go and eat. When he eats, he'll be full. I hope you know that. Whether he's a believer or non-believer, he will eat and the food will enter in his stomach and he'll give him some strength. In the same manner, there are words that you feed a soul of man and it lifts him up from the place of hunger to a place of feeling full. Without telling him the truth, the deepest part of the truth. Are you getting my point? Now, what I want to bring out is this. The ability to see... No, wait. Let me put pause there. Let's read 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I'll tie it together. Don't worry. I hope I'm not confusing you. If you are following me, say amen. Say very loudly, please.
Amen.
God bless you. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 24. All right. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 24. I just want to read one scripture to explain something. He said, sing to the Lord. Let me start from 23. All the earth. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. Now, focus on 24. He said, tell of his glory among the nations, his glory are his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. Do you understand? What he's saying is this. Tell of his glory among the nations. Tell all the peoples his wonderful deeds. That is, his glory is manifested in the wonderful things that he has done. Now, bear that in mind. What I want to explain is this. Glory manifests in many forms. Now, let me explain this. They can tell you now that Bill Gates arrived. Maybe man arrived at the airport. And because Bill Gates is coming to Nigeria, the Minister of Trade was there to welcome him. Minister of Finance, who also came from the U.S., Okonjo-Iweala, right, is there. And because our CBN governor also knew him, he arrived. And the man is coming at the airport. Three of Nigeria's choicest rulers are there at the airport. And of course, they want to show him. We always do that thing. I don't know whether it's good or bad, but we do it a lot. There are a lot of Atilogu dancers on one side and Ray Bile on the other side. All kinds of people are just jumping up and down. And the man, you know, you think you're impressing him. Maybe he comes and says, what is this so silly? You know, and you don't realize that's what he's thinking. I'm not saying that's what he's thinking. It's possible. Do you ever watch this film? Look Who's Talking. That one of that little child. The child was in his crib. And the grandmother came and said, the child looked and said, man, this woman has gone crazy. He said, oh, she's gone. That is, why is she behaving like this? And one of my friends told another joke in that light. He said, that adults are making faces at the child. Saying, just talking, playing with the child, making funny sounds. My child was thinking that, what's wrong with them? Why can't they talk normally? That is what you are doing sometimes to impress somebody. But he's wondering why you are being so stupid, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, let us assume that all these things happened. And
We are there jumping up and down, feeling good, and then the masquerade is growing down to the growing up to the 10th floor, just increasing, and people are somersaulting. The day they did that for the first lady when she arrived from Abuja, was at the airport. They said, okay, I went to wait for somebody else. Then she was there. The people, I said, let's just go wait for the first lady. To my shock, she didn't notice everything, anything. She just shook a few hands, entered the car, and off. And I talked to myself. Hundreds of people gathered. She didn't even notice them. Now, nothing is bad. Get my phone. It's not bad. Okay? It's just one of those things. No, don't go around criticizing everything. Some things are not bad. They are not good. They are just for those who don't have better things to do. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So let everybody serve his own function in life. They cannot be you. Okay? So, at the end, assuming that Bill Gates arrived, and then you buy Guardian the next day, and they describe that he arrived at Abuja Airport in his glory. That's what I'm coming to. What has the reporter called his glory? That is, maybe he flew down in a private jet. Let's assume, private jet. And then a few people came with him, all very rich men. And then they saw the pomp and ceremony that went with his arrival. So you call that his glory. Now, think about it really. Is that his glory? Really? No. You want to see Bill Gates' glory? Put on a computer. Windows XP, that's Bill Gates' glory. Office 2000, that's Bill Gates' glory. Windows Media Player, that's Bill Gates' glory. The computers that are running on Microsoft products all over the world, that's really Bill Gates' glory. But his coming is attended with some ceremony, which you can interpret as his glory. In the same manner, when the cloud fills the temple, the cloud really is not the glory of God. It is just a physical manifestation at that point that God is present in his power. Do you understand my point? So what he was saying here is, tell amongst the nations of his glory. Actually, what that glory is, the glory is the mighty deeds that he has done. Are you getting what I'm going to say? The glory of God is not that halo you paint around the head of Jesus in photographs. It is not the cloud per se that fills the temple. Really, those are just like the arrival of a great king. But that is not really his glory. The glory is the fact that he rules over a kingdom with power. All the dancing and up and down that surrounds them is not really the... But you can describe that, that is the glory of a king. Really, it is not. But it's a manifestation in a particular form of the fact that he's a king. Now, you are getting what I'm making. So you see many expressions of God's glory in the Bible. But really, when you talk about glory, he's talking about divine ability that's resident within him. Did that make any sense? If I did, say amen. Good. Now, let's now go back to where we started. Romans chapter 3. It said, all have sinned, and for that reason, they have become short of the glory that God has placed inside them. Get my point? That when God made Adam, he said, be fruitful and multiply. All have sinned. They are no longer fruitful and they are no longer multiplying. As a consequence of sin. So he said, cursed is the earth because of you. That is, the earth will no longer yield for you its increase. Meaning, sin stopped the earth from yielding its increase. That is, Adam sinned and the earth stopped yielding its increase. Does that make sense? In the same manner, we can easily understand that the glory of God that God gave to Adam is that the earth should have been yielding its increase for Adam. Now, follow me what I'm saying. So, you find out that for prosperity to come upon the earth, actually, real prosperity is the glory that we are talking about. That is, God is saying is that when there is sin, you find out that men cannot even understand the physical laws of prosperity. Are you getting the point I am making? They begin to do things, you know, I said somewhere along the line, that spiritual things always take form in the physical. So you find out that God wants to give prosperity to people. One of the things he does is use the principle of Isaiah chapter 40. People will mount up the high mountains and start telling the people, behold your God. They start telling them, you can do it. The power of positive thinking, possibility thinking, think and grow rich. They start telling them, think. They start talking to them. They are speaking kindly to Jerusalem. But the men who started speaking What happened was that by virtue of the purging blood of Jesus, he cleaned their eyes and they were able to see the glory of God. And they now began to declare it amongst men who could see them, human beings, physically. Am I making sense? No, let me explain what I'm going to say very well. That is, listen, there are laws that God has placed on the earth that will cause men to prosper. But what sin does is, let me show you what sin does. Open to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah was talking here, you know, who shall I send? Send me, all those kind of things. After he said, here am I, send me, in verse 8, in verse 9. And he said, that is God was speaking to him, go and tell these people, gosh, the words, listen, words are very powerful. What you say to people can either make them or kill them. When God wanted to do something to the people, he told Isaiah, go and talk to them. What will you say to them? Keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. What you will do by saying these things to them is you will render their hearts, verse 10, of these people insensitive, and their ears dull, and their eyes dim. The consequence of all this is that they will see with their eyes, but they won't understand anything. He said, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts. What is this? They will see with their eyes, hear with their eyes, ears, but they will not understand anything from what they are perceiving. How did this start it? By saying something to them. This is what I want you to understand. What God is saying is that you are pulling them down from the glory of God. For that reason, Isaac Newton will sit under a tree. I hope you know Isaac Newton was a very, very strong believer. I knew he was a Christian. Go and read the Encyclopedia Britannica. It's there. When they tell the story of his life. He was a very strong Protestant. He used to write essays on doctrinal matters. He was learning in the scriptures. Just open Encyclopedia Britannica and it's written there clearly. That's where I read it. So he will sit under a tree and apple will fall, like they say. Mango trees were falling all over Africa. I hope you know that. Nobody saw anything. Orange kept falling. Cocoa kept falling. Everything kept falling. But men were seeing with their eyes, hearing with their ears, but not understanding anything with their hearts. Why? Because men sing. And they fell short as a consequence of the glory of God. I hope I'm making sense. That is, till today, men are doing business in the wrongest of ways. Let me give you a very good example. We traveled to Benin to go and buy a car. You know, there's something we were doing with it. So because I knew Benin well, I let some of the pastors in my church there. There are cars being sold in Enugu. But for the same quality of car, there is a 100,000 naira difference between Enugu here and Benin, 3 hours drive away. So several times men enter their cars, drive to Benin, carry money, buy a car there, drive it back to Enugu. Ask the Enugu man why he's not selling his car. Do they manufacture cars in Benin? No. They buy also as the people in Enugu are buying. Yet they are driving business to Enugu every day because of covetousness. Render the eyes of these people dull. They will perceive things with their... Look, men... I was telling a story about Henry Ford. Business is bad, many people say. So what do? They increase prices and increase profit margin. Henry Ford said, what we need to do is to sell more. The way by which you can sell more is to drop the prices. They must be crazy. They say, business is doing bad. We have to reduce wages and lay people off. And the first said, we should actually double their wages because when we do it, they will work harder. They say, you must be crazy. He did all these things and he was on top alone and not beneath. You know, I told you that Christians like quoting that without really understanding that they have practical meanings. That is, the ability to understand sound business principles is part of the glory of God, we are saying. To be able to discern truth. I'm not talking about divine truth that the Mary remained a virgin after delivering Jesus Christ or didn't. And you camp around that, the Catholics say, yes, It's a Blessed Virgin Mary. Their protestants said the Bible said until the birth of the child. Somebody asked me, I said, I don't know, I don't care. I said, I don't know. I don't care. No, get my point. I don't give a damn. I don't care. That's true. There are things I don't bother with. That's not what I'm talking about, divine truth. What kind of truth is that? We are talking about real life. Decoding things that affect practical life every day from the word of God. It's what we are talking about. Did Jesus die on Friday and rise up on Sunday? The whole of Christendom believes it. Do you understand my point? I personally don't. It's not possible that he died on Friday or rose on Sunday, because he would have been there for only 2 days and two nights. And he said himself, 3 days and three nights. Now, that is not my problem. I won't come here to be... Look, that is not what I'm saying. Remember I told you that the Bible said, no, you know, there are things Christians just carry, you know, Sunday is a holy day. Who told you? No, who told you Sunday is holy? When Paul said, let nobody judge one day superior above another, I mean, for you. But again, what I'm saying, that these things don't mean anything. I go to church almost every Sunday. The church I attend, we meet on Sundays. But you know the thing is that Christians are very funny anyway. This is just by the way. Orthodox churches meet on Sunday. Pentecostals meet on Sunday. And they also all meet every day of the week. There's a Redeemed Church near my house. They wake you up with prayer every morning. One day I'll let them and say, this is they go walk. I've been away. They don't know that maybe it's different people that come. So what's the problem with Sunday? No, honestly, what's the problem? Let me tell you the uniqueness of Sunday. We wear fine cloth on Sunday. That is the uniqueness on Sunday. And even those who don't believe in God, they go to church on Sunday. Usually those who come during the week either strongly believe in God or they have serious problems. Those are the two reasons people go to church. You either strongly believe in God or you have serious personal problems. And you know, God is the wastebasket for all people's problems. When there's nowhere else, they throw it upon God. Cast your bodies upon the Lord. So, to the wastebasket. Anyway, praise the Lord. So what I'm saying is this. Ability to understand truth. That's not what we're talking about. Which day is superior, which day is not, all those kind of things. That is not the point. Those are not issues. Those are not issues. How many wise men visited Jesus? Were they three? So the Bible never said three. It just said wise men from the east. They only gave three different kinds of gifts. We know, but I won't preach that to you. You know, those things don't matter, Jesus Christ. Go and get doctor in divinity expounding whether the gold was pure gold from Ophir or the one from Ghana. No. But that the gospel will enlighten a man's heart, his eyes. That like Joseph, he will see a problem coming immediately from heaven. He will see the glory of God concerning that problem. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, the problem I told you I had before was that I didn't understand the success principles men were teaching, how it related to the gospel of Christ Jesus. It's just that I connected it. That in their own lives, you know, Jesus said, John had light, and you rejoiced in his light for a season. Do you understand my point? That is, in their own lives, God connected them with light. And then because of the light that they have, they saw the glory of God. What is the glory of God? A man sat down and he just understood how joining wires can produce light. Before that, incandescent bulbs like this were not possible. And it worked. Even Muslims now buy electric bulb. Do you follow my point? If you go down to the depths of science, the real scientists have faith in God. Those who shout they're atheists, they really are just philosophers. They don't know anything. Do you understand my point? They don't know Jack. They don't know anything. Because the glory we are talking about, men, look, take something like Africa, those days. The men kept on grinding into further darkness. And their darkness was always real, tangible. What I mean by real and tangible is that a plague enters their village. Apart from the mercy of God, it will kill everybody. Let me give you a simple example. AIDS. When AIDS entered Africa, it will wipe large populations out. But when it enters a place where understanding has gotten to before it, these developed countries, they say AIDS, we will catch you. by virtue of men who have deposited light into other people, giving it their heart, foundations of science. These guys begin to sit down and they are trying to race against HIV. But when men had no light, HIV will be saying, all the men to the right, all the ladies to the left, two of you die today, two of you die tomorrow. Darkness does not permit them to be able to challenge it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, this is in every part of life. Go and read the story of Benghazi. The man was not a magician. That Benghazi, for those who do not know, at 33, as a black man, was the chief of pediatric neurosurgery in Johns Hopkins. All right? Now, that was a feat. In fact, they asked the man once that, do you have any problem with white patients? He said, no, I never have a problem with white patients. The problems I have are with black patients. You know, he's a black man. Why? He said, a white man reasons like this. They come in, they see him as a consultant. Young guy, 33. And he's black. So you know how they reason? Say, for him to get that job, he must be too good. The blacks come in, they see him. Black man, Johns Hopkins University. All this quota system, they just elevated him to show us that blacks are also important. He said, they are the only patients that have doubted his ability, the blacks. The whites just think that for a black man to get here, he must be damn good. So they rather go to him. That his position is a sign of his ability. But his brothers think that his position is a sign of the whites trying to integrate them. And thereby putting mediocres in places. Anyway, that's by the way. But the point I want to make is this. The guy made waves in doing many things. But he did not used to do things by chance. He understood what he was planning to do. There was one case, one young man that had an accident that he was trying to... He wanted to treat him in a particular way. And the biggest voices in the hospital said, no, you can't do it. You will kill the boy. Hi. He said, this thing will work. This boy was in coma, breathing with a machine. This thing will work. They said, no. Then the main voice against him went on leave. He quickly rushed in, did it, and the boy survived. Boy woke up out of his coma, and they discharged him, and he went home. He wasn't guessing. He understood, this point I'm coming to, divine light. What it does is to open your eyes to see what others are not seeing. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That you will wake up and say, ah, if I do this and do this, everybody in Enugu will pay me 20 naira a day. I mean, you're not, it's not, Father God, move their hearts. They don't need this thing, but let them buy it anyway. That is not confession of what you're talking about. That God will just open, look, I was, these days I moved around with a few men, you know, in church, because I got to know people and the business people, and I see the way they are thinking. And look, they just say, look, if you do this, and that. And if you do this, that makes you an instant millionaire. And one guy was saying the other day, look, I told one of my friends who's a lawyer, if he does this, he'll be a millionaire. And he explained to me what the guy needs to do. He's an engineer. He said, but the guy didn't do it. You know, you guys, the point I'm making is this. I told you earlier, my personal persuasion is that all we need in Nigeria currently is what? Peace. And by virtue of the glory that the precious blood of Jesus has allowed their eyes to see, prosperity will definitely come. I told somebody, I said, give us at this pace 10 years, we'll catch up with every country on the earth. He said, it is not possible. All I just remember was 2 Kings chapter 7. By this time tomorrow, a basin of wheat will be sold for 1 shekel, and I can say, even God was supposed to open the windows of heaven, how can this thing be? Forget this man. He's looking at people like himself. I am looking at people like myself. Men who are making dangerous investments, and I am sure God in heaven will pour water upon their seed. Do you get my point? They're not taking risk. What I mean by taking risk is that it's not as if they are being stupid. They are seeing what somebody else is not seeing. The glory of God is that you have the ability to produce what others can't produce by virtue of what you have heard. Remember, go and tell these people this. That way you render their hearts dull. somewhere else, after he had told them all that, he said, now go and tell them this. If you tell them this, you speak kindly to Jerusalem, you will comfort her. In the same manner, the word of God comes to you constantly as a comfort to your soul, as a strength for your arms. It's strengthening. Look, listen, men are hearing it. I've told you before, one of the problems we have is that most people who preach are preachers. You understand my point? You don't get the point. So when a Christian who's a scientist, the glory of God alights upon his eyes and he sees things, he won't come and declare, oh, the Lord was showing me this morning that the atom actually interacts in this particular fashion. You know, he won't preach it like that. Nobody will give him a microphone. Nobody. When he's going to teach, he's going to just enter a university class and talk normally. He will do his research and publish it in a journal. And of course, the journal will not publish to God be the glory. He won't publish it. He take out the truth and publish it and make it seem that truth comes naturally. Listen, Elihu told Job, it is God that makes us wiser than the beasts of the field. All have sinned and their eyes became dull. They couldn't do much more than the beasts of the field. But because of the precious blood of Jesus, that is the gospel of Jesus. That is, listen, the reason why you are not productive is because sin has deadened your understanding. Jesus said, I will cleanse your conscience from dead works. You believe in me, listen, I will forgive all your sins and give you life. And that life is the light of men. That when light shines upon your heart, you will see things that you were not seeing before. Simple. They said, there is no money in this place. He said, money. And you know, I told you once that somebody told me that Bill Gates, if you pour money on the ground, you won't bother picking it because it makes money faster being Bill Gates than if you had to pick it free of charge. In the same manner, you will look and say, if I want to start picking money, I could, but the kind of things I'm seeing, that's a waste of time. Picking money won't create wealth. I want to be creating wealth. That's why you don't need to sit down doing pools betting, you know, whether you can increase money, because you are not creating anything. And finances would not flow towards you like that. It will flow towards you as a consequence of the creation that is coming out of your hand. And listen, his marvelous works, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, are his glory, the marvelous things that he has done. So what we are saying, men fell short of the glory of God. What we are saying is that they were no longer able to create wealth. What I'm saying, I believe you're catching it. Come on, listen. That is the secret in the blood of Jesus. That is why men will get up and speak. Sometimes they are not even quoting scriptures. They are not teaching the gospel per se. But by virtue of the light that God has caused their eyes to see, they are doing things. And they start teaching men those things. And let me tell you what. There is always this bridge of faith. I call it, that's my own mental word for it. In that when God wants to bless men, he looks for somebody. And that person usually will have faith enough to take that blessing out of God's hands. But human beings usually have very little problems. They only have very little problems when it comes to having faith in that person because they can see that person. Do you understand my point? It's easier to see, to have faith in somebody you can see. That's why James said that, how can you say you love God that you cannot see? When the one you can see, you have not demonstrated any love towards him. It's really easier. That's why a man wants to create something. I call it the law of the pioneer. He has to dig deep into the realm of the spirit before God opens his eyes to see something material. The moment he sees it, it's very simple. If you come, let me show you something. That person can relate. Move your eyes this way, he looks. Move it this way. He demonstrates to the person. You see, the rate of change of momentum is directly proportional to the force applied. It's easy to explain it after God has opened your eyes. Do you follow the point I am making? I am saying, therefore, that the sacrifice of Jesus, the purging power in his blood, is actually the real foundation for the creation of wealth. When you say men should give their life to Christ, you know, everywhere I go to preach, I always say that, especially when it's on campus. I said, anybody telling you that give your life to Christ so that you will be happy, you know what I'm going to say, you know. that the world is happy. You ask the person, is he really happier than you? You don't understand the point I'm making. Some of the people are preaching to the people, some people are not happier than the people. They are actually miserable. You understand what I'm saying? And they are jealous of your freedom. So they want to preach so that you will get into their misery also. And they will not say they have won a soul for who really I don't know. No, really. So I always tell people when I'm praying, I say, listen, you know the meaning of the gospel? You have been struggling and struggling and failing every course. The gospel means, let me give you understanding so you can pass. That one, I'm not going to beg you, may you follow me, go on fellowship. It's the one that said, this, your earring is too long. Jesus wants short earrings. You haven't told the person anything. Really, you haven't. You haven't. You haven't. Listen, when the disciples, apostles used to preach, people would say, what must we do to be saved? Not Peter, you've been visiting my house too much. I don't want to believe now for us. I used to say something that, look, me, I know the bad person. Like, we're teaching here. There are people I feel I owe it to invite. And I tell you once, I remind you once, making twice, and I don't tell you again. And I see you every day, I will not tell you. Why? Because the Igbo man says, come chop, no become work. Abi? That is the way it is. I hope you are following what I'm going to say. That is the secret. That's what we call gospel. Really. That is what gospel is. Let us pray. I want us to just take a few prayer points before we go. Just say, God, remember something I said at the beginning. If you don't tell them that your welfare is accomplished, your welfare has ended, men will remain in captivity. Just speak to God and say, I thank you because now I understand that actually I have understanding to be able to see things that men can't see. Now I am asking you, Lord, give me my own portion that I can see it. I receive clarity because I have believed in Jesus. I can see the glory of God. In the realm of creation of wealth, I can see, I have the ability to see the glory of God. For that reason, I can attain to that place that I can see. I will no longer be short of God's glory. That I am living my life to walk into that glory. God, show me my own glory that I can receive it. That there is something that you have given to me to do. In it, I will be fruitful. And I will multiply. God, just show me what it is that's my portion and I will receive it. Now I know. I have understanding. It said, they know not, neither do they understand. Therefore, they walk on in darkness. Say, God, now I know, so I should no longer be in darkness. Sin is what blinds men. Righteousness opens their eyes. Jesus has opened my eyes because of my faith in him. I am a righteous person. Oh, in the blood of Jesus, there is forgiveness of sins. It purges my heart from dead works. Therefore, I can see the glory of God. And I can walk into it. Father, open my eyes that I can see, that I might see what it is. That is, reveal to me my own portion. Now I can receive it. I can receive it. I can receive it. Because I have come to know that I am a source of prosperity for my land. Everywhere I step into, I put a seed. Even if it is in tears, I put a seed. And my Father, I prophesy that you will pour water upon the seed that I have planted. Say, Father, I am a blessing to my generation. Show me that thing that you have put in me at the sea, as the seed, so I can plant it. Lord, I am a giver. I am not a taker. I give because I walk in the glory of God. I am a giver, not a taker. I have not come to this earth to receive. No, I received from your hand, Father. That is why I have come. Like Paul said, that which I received, I deliver unto you. God, enable me to deliver to my generation that which I have received from your hand. That Lord, I have more understanding than my teachers. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has forgiven me of all my iniquities. I am of superior mentality. I am an intelligent being. I am able to discern divine truths. There is an invention waiting for me to produce. There is a discovery waiting for me to make. There is a truth waiting for me to expound it. Lord, I reach for it tonight and I say it is my portion in the name of Jesus. The covenant I have with you, Father, is that I believe in Jesus and you forgive me of all unrighteousness. That is, I walk into the glory of God. I am able to see the glory of God. That Lord, nothing can hinder me. I am not afraid of anything. My whole life is in God's hands. It's a seed for my generation. I will be fruitful and I will multiply. I said, I will be fruitful and I will multiply. I will be fruitful and I will multiply. Because Jesus alone has strengthened my hand for war. I can run through a troop and I can leap over a wall. I am not shot by reason of sin, but I am tall by reason of God's glory, by reason of righteousness. I can see it. Thank you, Father God. 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 Oh, to you be all the glory.